You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hey, welcome to another episode. Glad to have you here. Now, my guest this week, I have a magical guest this week in every sense of the word. Good friend of mine, by the name of Paul Newton. Now, just tell you a little bit about Paul. Paul is one of an amazing new breed of professional magicians. He fuses groundbreaking contemporary magic with traditional conjuring. He has a long history of providing business insights using psychometrics. His skills in business are beyond that of purely an entertainer. And he is working with some really big names these days. We can't mention who they are at the moment. It will come out in due course, but definitely someone to keep an eye on. That's my guest today, Paul Newton. Hey, Paul, how are you doing, mate?
Hello, buddy. How are you? I'm good, thank you. How are you, sir? Oh,
that's very kind of you to ask. I am fabulous as always, thank you. Fabulous as always.
Good man, good man.
So we've heard a brief description of who Paul is, but for anybody listening or watching who hasn't yet had the pleasure of encountering Paul, who is Paul? What does he do?
Oh, don't. Basically, if anyone hasn't seen my work already, run and hide. I'm a magician, a mind reader. I mess with people's heads for a living. So I literally make a living out of meeting lovely people, going to really nice parties and entertaining them. I help with TV shows. I do stage shows. I help big corporates with their people and some of the issues of, well, imagine if a mind reader came in to try and steal your passwords. How are you going to stop him?
Ouch.
Yeah, so that's what I do. I mess with people's heads for a living.
Right, and you do that close up or on stage or how?
All of the above. This weekend just gone is a great example. On a Thursday, I was in a car park just doing close-up magic for a corporate entertainer. On the Saturday morning, I was at a polo club up in Richmond, entertaining some very, very gorgeous and far too expensive cars. Saturday evening, I was in a guild hall doing a stage show for a charity. And then Sunday, I was doing a garden party. So all of the above. Anything from close up, and I swear I do the closest tricks you will ever find, all the way up to helping with TV shows.
Quite the rise, you say, all of the above. Quite a range there.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. So I'm guessing you don't get nervous when you're doing these things. You don't get stage fright.
Do you know what? Sometimes it creeps in, but now I understand it and I know why it's there, it doesn't bother me. A lot of the time now, if I walk out on stage, I feel like the audience is going to give me a nice big hug, and if I tell the story well, they want me to do well anyway. So most of the times I walk out on stage, I feel love from the audience and I get the most massive grin on my face. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, and I love it, mate. I love it. The thing I did at the Guildhall on Saturday, it wasn't a stage per se. It was one big room. I was given a clearing area and tables were surrounding that area. There was about 250 people there. And do you know what? When you can walk out and have applause from the audience before you've even done anything, how lovely is that? That is just them showing you they want you to be there. And then they give you enough respect to give you a couple of minutes to prove yourself. And then once you do, you can see their mindset just changes from, who's this bloke in the trilby hat, to what the hell did he just do? Let's watch him seriously. Let's keep an eye on him. And you've been in the audience when you've seen some of my stuff. And I love that moment when the audience just go, we love this. Do more.
Yes, yes. Yes, that whole, what the heck moment.
Yeah. And when you see a skeptic go,
yeah.
I love that. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it now.
Yeah, no, it is fantastic. It's fantastic. Yeah. And so you say you get a little, sometimes you get a little, maybe a little frisson of slight nervousness there, but
yeah,
in terms of stage fright itself, the stuff, none of that. So has that always been the case? Yeah. Have you never had stage fright?
No. When I was a kid, when I was a lot younger, the thought of, try and explain this as nicely as I can. I have never been the thinnest man in the world. I will never be the thinnest man in the world. I've always known my imperfections. And the hat, part of the reason for the hat is I'm bald. I don't like being bald. I hide that I'm bald. But the hat has kind of turned into a trademark. It really started out because bald and was cold a lot. All these imperfections that you know about yourself, when I was a kid, I thought if I go and stand on stage, if I go and speak in front of people, if I go and try and sing a song, they're all going to spot all of those imperfections. And the weird realization is they don't. And they don't care.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine explained this to me beautifully a few years ago. He said, you know what? We're all like a glass. You can see it. My lovely wife has just brought me a glass of squash. There this glass works perfectly. It holds drink. That's all I need it to do. It holds drink. I drink from it. I am more than happy with that glass. Now, if you start getting a microscope and looking at that glass, you'll start to see little cracks that you and I can't see, and it's holding the drink perfect. You start to see cracks, and the closer you get to it, the bigger those cracks open up. And the more in depth you look at it, the more flawed it looks. There'll be bumps, there'll be bits that we can't see with our naked eye. But the glass knows they're there. It thinks that everyone will concentrate on them. Fact is, I don't care. It's a glass. It does the job perfectly. The only time it won't do that job perfectly is if it gets smashed.
Yeah.
And I just think human beings are like glasses. We panic about the things that we know, and we think that everyone else is going to panic about them as well. They're not. So when I was a kid, I used to worry too much about the flaws. I used to worry too much about the what if this goes wrong. Nowadays, as a grown adult, I just go for it.
Yeah. Was there anything that kind of happened to enable this change, or is it kind of just something that evolved as you got the realizations?
There was a couple of things. There was a couple of things. The two big, actually, weirdly, I've just been put into a Facebook chat group with a load of people that I knew when I started out in the entertainment world. And they're threatening that we should all go out for a drink sometime. Now, I'll be blatantly honest, and you know this, I hardly ever drink now because I drive too much. It's just not worth it. So I've got a nasty feeling that I'm going to meet up with these guys, probably have two drinks, and I'll be gibbering like a wreck. But it will be funny, so I'll video it. It'll be fine. So two big things happened. Number one, I got dragged into a youth theatre group by a couple of friends of mine. And I had a couple of drinks that day. Now, when I got dragged into this youth theatre group, they said, oh, we need a strong male presence that can sing well. And I stupidly said, I can sing, that's all right. So I then found myself auditioning for the part of Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Whoa.
And apparently, slightly drunk, teenage Paul can sing. So I did this audition and I won the part. That little bit of alcohol that got rid of the fears got me on stage, and that's the first time I ever went on stage in any of that sort of capacity. The other one, the school I went to back when I grew up, it wasn't the nicest of schools. We used to joke between my friends that most of us, our career prospects was, are you going to be nicking cars or are you going to be doing over houses? Thankfully, a lot of my friends have done very well. Some of those guys have gone into entertainment world. Some of them are very high up in the police force, which makes me laugh quite a lot. I was in school. I was walking through the school grounds on my own, and these two lads jumped me, wanted to try and beat me up and do a bit of bullying, and I ended up carrying them to the teacher. So literally had these two guys in a headlock, took them to the teacher. That day, I went from very, very mild and scared Paul Newton. I was afraid of most things all the time. If you ever manage to get my brother on an interview, he can tell you that early teenage years, I changed a lot. I went from the most mild, scared, timid kid you could possibly meet to, actually, I've got quite a lot of power within me. And I started using it.
Interesting.
Yeah, a couple of big life events that changed the course of Paul Newton's direction a lot.
Yeah. Now, I just want to go back to that first one, where you said it was kind of, so you had a little bit of alcohol, which was enough to take the edge off the nerves.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's not something you advocate for overcoming all stage fright.
Oh my God, can you imagine? I've got a fear of driving. Let's neck a bottle of vodka. It's, you know, the stage thing, and you and I have talked about this a little bit before. The fear of being on stage, to me now, seems ridiculous. I mean, I just don't get it anymore. I don't understand why that would be a fear in the first place. But then I see reports about normal people think that being on stage in front of an audience is scarier than dying. Yeah. What? Really? I mean, come on. I quite like life. Fear of dying is massive. I look at that. I don't need any alcohol when I go on stage. I don't think anyone needs that. What you do need to do is take away your perception of what's going to happen. Take away the lies that your own brain is going to say to you and think about it rationally. Okay? And I've helped change people in a room when they've said, I cannot stand up, I cannot speak in front of people. Okay, there's two lies there. Mm. Okay, if you're a fully abled person, you can stand up. Okay, that's line number one. So you can stand up. If you can converse with your friends, then you can talk. That means you have the two skills to do this. I've got buddies who are wheelchair bound, and they're the best people I've seen on stage. So you know what? One of the biggest fears of it, that's also a lie. You don't even need to stand half the time. Look at it rationally. Mm-hmm. It's not a fear of being on stage. What it normally is a fear of something going wrong and people then humiliating you because of that. Now, everyone knows the whole fear is false evidence appearing real. Do you know what? That's exactly what people do. That's exactly what I used to do. I used to sit there and think, well, if I walk out on stage, I might trip over. I might do this. My trousers might fall off. I might forget my words. I might mess up the song. You make all of these excuses and reasons that you want to believe could happen. Here's another scary one for you. It might go really well.
Ooh.
The best thing you ever do.
Yeah.
It might get you exactly the results you want. You know?
You're right. For many people, that can be a really, really scary thing. Oh my goodness. I got exactly what I wanted. Now what do I do? Yeah.
Fear of unknown. What do we do now?
Exactly.
Mate, it's so true. And I saw a guy called Ian Dixon speak years ago. And I'd already been doing stage shows. I've already been doing close-up. I've already helped at that point. I think it was one TV show I'd helped at that point. And Ian Dixon said something that just smacked me in the face. He said, if you want to be the expert, get on stage. If you want to be the expert, just get on stage. Because so many people will sit at the back and be quiet and won't go up. If you start getting on stage and saying the things that you know to be true, people will start taking you as the expert. And it's so true. So true. If you haven't seen Ian Dixon's stuff, go Google search him. It's worth it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah. He's scary good, isn't he?
Yeah. One of these days, we'll get him on an episode of this. One day.
No, if you want, we'll just go hypnotise him. We'll get him on it tomorrow. It's all good.
Yeah, we could double team him.
There's so many bad gags we could do there.
It's true.
True.
So there's some interesting insights you had there into stage fright and why it's nonsense and so on. And so you've gone from being terrified of being on stage to absolutely loving it.
Yeah.
One of the fears you mentioned was the fear of, oh, what if it all goes wrong and they all laugh at me. You must have had times where it's all gone seemingly impossibly wrong. Any particular memorable moments? And how do you cope with that?
Cope, and you know what? Cope with that for a magician is a great one, because a lot of magicians are actually weirdly shy creatures. If you think about what magic actually, performing magic itself, it's not about me, it's about the trick. Okay. So if I do a card trick for you, I get you to concentrate not on me, I get you to concentrate on my hands doing this card trick. And this is going to be rubbish for anyone listening in audio, but I do that. I literally want you to concentrate on cards, not on me. Okay. Now add to that most magicians, when they start out, will sit in their bedrooms on their own, practicing with a deck of cards or with a dice or with a Rubik's cube. They will practice with props for hours and hours on end.
Yeah.
Okay. The weird thing is, the confidence booster is that when you start getting out there and performing those tricks, after a little while, you start putting your own spin on the story. You start making it more yours. You start becoming more elaborate. You start making bigger moves, making it more about entertaining, not just about the cards. So weirdly, it can help turn very shy people into massive entertainers and very valuable entertainers.
Yeah.
But yeah, you think about it, magicians are a very strange bunch. They really are. The magicians I get on with will tell you exactly the same. Some of them are very arrogant and think they're amazing all the time. But we're a weird bunch. We've gone from hiding in our bedrooms to, now I'm going to entertain all of you.
Yeah.
Just. But yeah, I think most magicians have a massive issue with stage fright, and they kind of deflect it by, you're not looking at me, you're looking at the trick.
Interesting.
Anyone can use that.
Wow, interesting. So they're almost, I guess, for some magicians who still have stage fright or have nerves or are shy, basically the magic is, magic almost becomes the thing behind which they're hiding.
Yep. And they use it like a massive shield.
Yeah.
like that. And I'm just here. If you watch this, you can't really see me. I'm going to hide behind my shield of magic. And if you like that, at the end of it, I'll say, thank you very much. I'm Paul Newton.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Wow.
And again, sorry about the shield analogy there. That's going to be really rubbish just for the podcast. So anyone that's listening to the podcast, go find the video. Okay.
Yeah, indeed.
You'll then see me hiding behind my hands. It's great. Wondrous moment of TV.
Exactly. And talking of hiding and deflecting, I noticed you didn't actually answer the question. Funny that.
Yeah, I
think that went wrong, and how you overcame it.
Go into politics. A recent gig. I won't say where, because none of them noticed. A recent gig I was doing had about 300 people in the audience. Set up a trick in which involves two people, and you're going to make them read each other's minds. And the bit of kit that I use while I was setting up broke while I was on stage.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
So my poor little brain just went, whoa, what do I do? What do I do? So I decided that I would blatantly, in front of the whole audience, get a new bit of kit out of my case and reset the whole thing in front of everyone. But then I had to make up about a minute's worth of waffle. And the fact that I can now just talk for Britain saved me. I managed to set up what is a hidden piece of kit in under 1 minute while chatting to the audience about psychology and how body language can help you. And even people that were volunteers were stood on stage riveted to what I'm saying. Even they didn't notice me resetting the whole thing.
Now that is powerful.
Mate, that was one of those moments that I was literally by the seat of my pants. And another thing that magicians like to do, if I'm doing a trick that has a specific outcome to be the end result, there will normally be three or four hidden outcomes. So if something goes wrong, I can revert to option B and you will still think that was the intended trick. Things can go wrong. It doesn't happen very often, thankfully. but when it does, you've just got to have the nerve to go for it.
And I think that second point that you mentioned there is a really, really vital one, not just for magicians, but for anybody. Always have more than one possible outcome. So if things are going wrong, you forget your lines, you forget what you were talking about, the volunteer hasn't done what they were supposed to do, your piece of kit breaks, the IT equipment, whatever, you have got other options that you can follow.
Completely. Have you ever gone to a business presentation and the speaker, whilst being engaging enough, the speaker puts up a big presentation board and on it says every word that they're saying?
Gosh, yes.
Yeah, so literally, right, so my head's there. There would be every single word I'm saying running along here.
Yeah.
Now, here's what happens in that situation. The audience members start reading the words.
Yep.
Okay? So they're now reading those words and they're hearing those words in their own head, in their own voice. I now have the speaker who's also saying those words in a different voice than mine. So I'm actually getting two audio commentaries at different timings reading words.
Yeah.
Which confuses the whole message.
Absolutely. Okay?
So if you've got somebody watching this who knows they've got to do a presentation, try this. Put up a picture and maybe two or three things that nudge you towards your next subject. Okay?
Yes.
You already know your subject. You wouldn't be in that position if you didn't know your subject. Now, if I then have a picture just here over my head and the first bit says card tricks, I can now talk for a couple of minutes about card tricks nice and easy. Then one says, mind reading. I can talk for a couple of minutes about mind reading. And nobody is reading all of this. They just go, that's a nice, informative graphic. Done.
Exactly. It's a beautiful approach. Death by PowerPoint is a horrible presentations. The approach you mentioned there is beautiful because it gives you your reminder. Oh, yeah, I'm talking about card tricks now. Go on.
Yep.
Oh, yes, I'm talking about. Plus, it also gives a great visual reminder for people in the audience, because even for the best speakers in the world, there will be some people who from time to time will zone out.
Yeah.
Whether it's because they've got stuff going on, or you've said something and that set them off on another train of thought, and then they come back, like, where the hell? Oh, card tricks. Oh, right, okay. Because you've got the thing up on the screen to remind them.
Yeah, and if you're any good with PowerPoint and stuff, you can make that one appear first.
Yeah.
When you get to the point of I'm starting to run out of steam, you press the little button that makes mentalism appear.
Yeah.
Go. That's where I was going. Awesome. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Something you just said there,
uh-huh.
Even with the best speaker in the world, people can zone out. A trick I learned years ago is the 6 to 7 minute trick.
Right.
Okay, literally mean 6 to 7 minute trick. As a magician, I try to make sure that each of my tricks stay to about 7 minutes.
Interesting.
Most humans, their concentration span is 7 minutes.
Right.
So do a trick, then back off, change it completely and do something new, it reinvigorates their concentration.
And kind of resets that timer.
Yeah. So anyone that's going up to do speaking or a presentation, try and keep each bullet point to information that's under 6 or 7 minutes.
Nice.
And if you need a break in between, be as blatant as this. Have your glass of water over on the side of the stage. And when you finish that first one, even when this one pings up, go, you know what? I just need to grab a glass of water. Hold on 1 second. Cheers. And have a drink.
Yeah. Break state. Breaking the state. Yes. Yeah.
Break the state. Move across the stage. Change the thought pattern of the people in the audience and they'll stay with you.
Yeah. Talking of time, unfortunately, time has run away with us. We've kind of pretty much run out of time on this, which is.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't worry. No, there's been a lot of very interesting and very useful stuff in there. I know a lot of people are going to want to find out more about Paul, who you are, what you do. So, if somebody wants to find out more about Paul, who he is, what he does, how to get into. Yeah. What's the best way for them to find out more about you?
The best and the most informative way, go onto Facebook and just type in Paul Newton Magic. It's all one word, Paul Newton Magic. You'll find my magician page and updates of what I'm doing, where I am, and you can contact me directly. If I'm ever out doing stuff, it might be one of my team that responds to you. And when I say team, it might be my wife, it might be my dog, it might be my mate D who looks after my messages. But one of us will get back to you, normally me.
Brilliant. So that's go to Facebook and look up Paul Newton Magic, all one word.
Perfect. Perfect.
And Paul is, God, you can't get away from him. He's everywhere on social media, always under Paul Newton Magic. As always, the page for this episode will have all of Paul's contact details, all of his links to all of his social media. If you want to find out more, remember keithblakemorenoble.com/show and look for the one with Paul Newton. You'll find all his information there. Or go to facebook.com and look for Paul Newton Magic. You'll find Paul there. Paul,
awesome.
It's an absolute pleasure as always. Thank you so much for taking some time out for this.
But this kind of gig for me is great. I'm currently sat on my comfy sofa. I've got my dog cuddling me on my lap. I get a hat. I'm wearing a comfy shirt rather than one of the work ones. Mate, I love this. Thank you very much.
My absolute pleasure. And I know we'll have you back in the future for more stuff as well.
Well, so, just to finish talking about stage fright.
Yeah. until then, thank you. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, viewers and listeners, for joining me. We'll have another episode again next week. If you like this, drop me a line. Wherever you saw this, remember to subscribe, rate us, leave a comment, tell your friends about it, and we'll catch you next week. And until then, I'll leave you with Paul's favorite quote, which comes from Papa Smurf. And the quote is, it's a beautiful quote, "It doesn't matter where you come from. What matters is what you choose to be."
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. To find out more, please visit keithblakemorenoble.com.